You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to the show. This is Locked On Heat, part of Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here alone. David Ramil is still traveling back from his holiday weekend. How was your Thanksgiving? I hope it went well. I hope you were able to watch the Heat games that happened during the holiday break. I hope you get away from your family for a little bit, watch some football, watch some basketball. Hope you enjoyed your family, enjoyed the turkey. Hope you didn't talk about politics too much like I did with my family. But hey, it was all good. We got to take a little bit of a break, but we're back. This is Mailbag Monday, and let's just get right into it. Our first question is, what did you think of Hassan Whiteside versus Marc Gasol? Now, the Miami Heat played two games, back-to-back against the Memphis Grizzlies this past weekend, Friday, Saturday night, and they split the series 1-1. And the big matchup that series was Miami Heat center Whiteside versus Grizzlies center Marc Gasol. And this is just how it laid out. Game one, Hassan Whiteside. 4 points, 12 rebounds, 2 blocks. A very bad game. His worst game of the season. Only 1 of 6 from field goals. Marc Gasol, on the other hand, just 9 points on 4 of 11 field goals. Just 1 rebound. He had 5 blocks, but overall an ineffective game from both centers. The Heat ended up winning that game, but it was not thanks to Whiteside. It wasn't. Both centers really struggled in that game. Seemed like they were somewhat feeling each other out, but they were also a little rusty. I don't know what it was. Maybe too much turkey on Thanksgiving. I'm not sure, but that was the case there. In Game 2, both centers bounced back with much better games. Whiteside had another double-double with 15 points and 12 rebounds. He added 2 blocks, had a steal in the game, was 7-11 shooting in the game. Marc Gasol had an amazing game. 28 points on 11 of 16 shooting. Just 3 rebounds, but 6 assists in that game. Hit 2 3-pointers. In the 2 games combined, right? This is what matters, right? Because we're judging Whiteside versus Gasol in this series. In the 2 games combined, Whiteside, 19 points on 8 of 17 shooting. 24 rebounds. Had 1 assist. Had 4 blocks and 2 turnovers. Marc Gasol, 37 points on 15 of 27 field goals, hit 2 3-pointers, had just four rebounds in 2 games, not a lot. 8 assists, though, 5 blocks to Whiteside's 4, and 0 turnovers. Look, defensively, Whiteside made a bigger impact than Gasol. Even though Gasol had 5 blocks in that first game, over the course of both games, Whiteside altered more shots at the rim. I thought he was a bigger factor defensively than Gasol was. Gasol, meanwhile, has been known as a defensive center his entire career, but he's playing more like Chris Bosh did in those big three Heat days when Bosh was playing center than Whiteside is right now. He's playing like Whiteside right now. He's not the defensive stopper that Whiteside is. He's more of the stretch five type. I mean, he's hitting an incredible rate of three-pointers this season. Dave Fizdale, the former Heat assistant coach, went in and has instituted this new pace and space type scheme like we saw in Miami. And Gasol is playing the Bosh role very much so. He's been incredible in that transition so far this season into that new role. It's really given his whole career a new life in a lot of ways. I've been really impressed just in general with Marc Gasol this entire season. I was really excited to see this matchup. And Whiteside a lot of times wouldn't cover Gasol on the perimeter, and that's why Gasol was able to get some open looks from there. And that's not something Whiteside is very good at. And Gasol, I think, has more of that versatility to defend guys out on the perimeter. He's been really, really good for the Grizzlies all season. He's having a better season, I think, than Whiteside is, even though Whiteside is having a good year, but it's really limited to what he's doing around the rim. Rebounding, misses, and getting those shots around the post. Gasol is a much more versatile player at this point in his career. He's a veteran. This is a guy who's been doing it for years. So it's not really a slight at Whiteside, but I think Gasol is just the better center at this point. I thought Whiteside played well enough. That first game was really bad. We've had issues with Whiteside playing up to competition. He tends to dominate weaker competition, no big deal. But anytime he plays a good to great center, he seems to fade away, and that's honestly concerning for me. And it's something to keep watching forward. It was reassuring that he was able to bounce back after a bad game one in this two-game series, so to speak. But overall, I thought Gasol won that battle. But the important thing is that it was a tough matchup for both teams. The Heat came out with a 500 record from that series, which is important. The Grizzlies are a good team. Our next question, how is Briante Weber doing? Hey, Briante Weber, is it worth bringing him up before another team can claim him? It's a good question, right? Well, let's just look at the stats really quick. Last season in the D-League, Briante Weber was averaging basically 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in 29 minutes. This season, he's averaging 14.5 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists in 34 minutes. So his numbers are all up. His shooting percentages are down from 47% to 39%, and more of a concern from 41% from three-point range to just 20% from three-point range, taking almost one extra three-pointer a game this season. There is obviously a focus for Briante Weber to shoot more threes and to just shoot more in general, because that's his weakness, as we saw in preseason. That's his weakness, is shooting. So there is a focus there to improve that. He is on the same time rebounding well for his position like he always has. He is facilitating well like he always has. So he's playing well. I mean, he's the NBA D League has him ranked as the second best prospect right now for call ups. The NBA D League keeps rankings on their official website of these things, objective, subjective, a little bit of both, but they have him at ranked number two. He's having a good year. The Sioux Falls Skyforce are having a fine year, and is it worth bringing him up before another team claims him? Look, I like Briante Weber as much as anybody else. I really, really do. I think he's still a year or two away from being a impact player at the NBA level. I think his size doesn't do him any favors. So he's really a guy that size, he is limited somewhat defensively. He is really good at defending other point guards. I think he's really good at it. But he can't switch onto bigger shooting guards, let alone small forwards. That really limits what you could do defensively with him. And he's not a good shooter. And I think he still has a hard time with the pace of the game at the NBA level, where it's a bit faster and more complicated. And defenses throw a little bit more things at you. And they're able to hide things better. And I think he still has a hard time with that. He needs to develop in all these things. For a guy like Weber's size, he needs to either be an insane athlete, which Weber is not. He's not, you know, Russell Westbrook or prime Derrick Rose or even like an Isaiah Thomas type athlete. And you have to be a really crafty scorer. Look at Isaiah Thomas and his size. He's a very crafty scorer, especially around the rim. Briante Weber is not that. So you either have to be a good outside shooter or a crafty interior scorer. He's not those things. He's nothing. There's really nothing special about him when it comes to passing or facilitating. He's fine at it. There's nothing special about his passing. Like I said, he still struggles with the pace of the game at the NBA level. I don't think it's worth calling him up just to call him up. I don't know what you'd have to do. Maybe the Heat at some point are able to make a trade this season. And if they do that, maybe they send out more than what they bring back in. And at that point, you call up Briante Weber. But, and I said this before, and I will keep saying it, That was a message when the Heat decided to go with Rodney Magruder, widely unproven, over Briante Weber, who had experience playing for the Heat in the playoffs, or at least being on that bench during the playoff run last year, who they have invested the better part of 2 years in, and they decided that it was almost Beno Udrih over all of them, certainly over Briante Weber, and then it ended up being ultimately Rodney Magruder over Briante Weber. Which means that he's not ready. And if the Heat are saying that, that is a message to the rest of the NBA saying he's not ready. That doesn't mean another team. It only takes one team. Doesn't mean the Brooklyn Nets or the 76ers or somebody are going to come out and say, we need another point guard. Let's go give this guy a shot. We trust the Heat system. They might just not have room for him. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. But I'll also say this. It won't be the end of the world if that happens, because he is a year or two away from being an impact player. So I don't think it'll be... This is not a situation, I don't think, where this guy can end up being the next Tyler Johnson and get signed for a huge deal and make an immediate major impact. Okay. By the way, the Locked On Podcast Network is fantastic. So before we go on with the rest of this mailbag, I just want to give it a shout out. We're right in the thick of things of the football season. So if you're an NBA fan that's also an NFL fan, check out the Locked On Podcast Network and what they have to offer you there. If you're a Heat fan, I imagine you're a Dolphins fan. They're playing really well. Locked On Dolphins is a great podcast. I suggest you listen to it. So check out what the Locked On Podcast has. Make it a part of your day. More importantly, make Locked On Heat a part of your day if it's not already. Subscribe to get these daily podcasts every day. Make them a part of your commute or your gym routine. There's Locked On NBA. There's Locked On NFL. There's daily shows about fantasy sports. So find whatever it is that floats your boat. Go to iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. Subscribe. Stop listening to the same top 40 hits over and over again and learn something. These are podcasts hosted by experts for you to help make you an expert. Be the smartest guy around the water cooler. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to help you. Let us help you. Subscribe and just hang out with us every day. Stop listening to work over by Rihanna over and over again. You don't have to listen to that every day in your commute. You don't have to do it. Listen to this instead. Fresh, new content every day. It's awesome. Oh, and if your company is looking for a male audience between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast right here in this spot. Locked On Heat is listened to by 95% men, and 74% of which are between the ages of 18 and 44. According to a recent study, podcast listeners are actually 65% more likely to engage with a sponsor than any other media outlet. Plus, our rates are reasonable, or you could decide that for yourself. Just email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com to find out more about sponsoring this podcast and engaging the audience that you want to reach. All right. Our next question. Dwayne Wade said that the Denver Nuggets were his second choice. Look, the Heat already said thanks via the tribute video, but should they just retire his number now so everyone just moves on? It's an interesting question, right? Because we want to try to bury this completely. But rarely, if ever, does an NBA team retire a player's number while that player is still active. That doesn't happen. So I don't see that happening. It would be... I don't know how a Wade would take that. You know, there's a situation where he could be offended by that, and that only keeps this drama going. You know, he could be offended like, look, I'm not retired. You can't retire my number. I'm not even retired yet. I still play in the NBA. What are you trying to say here? Look, I don't think that that's going to happen. I think the best thing that the Heat can do is just not get offended by this stuff. You got to keep your head down. Keep working at the roster you have. Don't deal with... The last thing Pat Riley wants to do is be Phil Jackson and start commenting about other players. Phil Jackson made a mess when he starts talking about other guys like LeBron James, people that don't even play for his team. He starts saying stupid stuff. You don't want to get into that. Pat Riley's not going to do that. There's no point. You're right, they did the tribute video when they came. You celebrate it when he's here. You show him respect when he's here. You do that, they'll do it again. But maybe not the whole tribute video, but they will show that respect next time that the Heat play the Bulls, right? And that's all that they can do. Wade's going to get asked these questions. He's going to answer them, honestly, because he has no loyalties to the Heat organization right now. And that's fine. He doesn't play for... He's not paid by this organization right now. That's okay. But the Heat just can't engage. And if they're trying to engage positively or negatively, it's either way, it's bad. You have to engage with the players you have, with the people that work for your company right now, and you can't worry about that outside noise. So that answers that question. All right. It would not be Mailbag Monday if it weren't for fake trades. So let's get into a couple fake trades here. This is gonna be an interesting one. So here it is. Our next question. What do you think of this trade with the 76ers? Goran Dragic, Deion Waiters, and Hassan Whiteside for Joel Embiid, Timothy Luwalu, and a first-round draft pick. I didn't make this up, but I do want to answer it. First of all, I don't know if the 76ers would do that. That's my immediate thought is, I think they would be interested in Goran Dragic. I think there is a need there to have a veteran point guard who can stabilize that roster, help other players develop, much in the way Goran Dragic right now is helping the Heat players develop. There's value there for Dragic. And he could do that same thing for the 76ers. They don't have a good point guard right now. You have somebody like Dragic there. He can really help everybody just develop and play better around him. And the 76ers want to play a quick pace. Dragic loves to do that. He'd be a great fit there. He would be a great fit there. Dion Waiters, not so much. Not the kind of player they need. I don't think that they want anything to do with Dion Waiters. He's a high usage guy. They want to spread the ball around their young players. There's really not enough basketballs to go around already for Philadelphia because they have too much evaluating to do that Dion Waiters pounding the ball into the ground. And that would just not be a good evaluation tool for the 76ers. I don't think they had anything want to do with Waiters. And as far as Hassan Whiteside goes, look, Whiteside's a very good young center, but he's 26. And that's still too old for the 76ers window right now. You look at guys like Embiid and Ben Simmons, all these guys, they're 20, 21, 22 years old. Whiteside's already 4 or 5 years older than these guys. That doesn't fit their window. And I made this point about Winslow and Richardson before. My concern with Whiteside is not how he plays. It's his age. You know, I know he's not been in the NBA that long, but he's been playing overseas. He played in college. I mean, this guy still has miles on his odometer, even if they're not NBA miles. And by the time Winslow and Richardson get into their prime, which is going to be about 4 years from now for both of them, Whiteside's going to be hitting 30 years old. And centers don't have that long of a shelf life. So that's my concern with Whiteside. So in regards to this trade, I'd like to have Embiid, but he's going to be very, very good. His ceiling is higher than Whiteside's, and his window is right there with everybody else on the 76ers. It jives right with everybody else on that roster. So I don't think the 76ers do that. They're especially not going to trade a first-round pick away for that. Timothy Luwawu is a player I like to talk about because he's somebody that Draft Express had ranked in their top 15, I think. He dropped all the way to 24, I believe, in the draft. He's one of those do-it-all, stretch-four type forward guys. A little bit of a combo forward potential there. But could play. He could be a small ball four, I think, in the NBA. Obviously, I haven't seen a lot of him. But that's a player that I like. So I'll reformat this trade a little bit. If you can get Goran Dragic and trade him to the 76ers for a young player, like a Luwawu or even a Okafor or Nerlens Noel, somebody that fits more into the window that they have, that the Heat are working with right now. Maybe you can get a second round pick. You know, the Heat have traded so many other second round picks away. I think about the players that the Heat have taken in the second round. Josh Richardson, man. Like Tyler Johnson was undrafted. The Heat can do things with second round picks. So this is not, it's not first round, a first round pick or bust. The Heat, they have a first round pick that is on its way to being a lottery pick. If the season goes as the way it is now, that's going to be a lottery pick. So you could trade Dragic for a young player that you can get in-house today on a rookie-scale contract right now, start developing him. Maybe he plays a position of need, like small forward depth or even a starting power forward or something. Maybe you trade Dragic away for a young point guard and you switch up that window there at the point guard position a little bit. I don't know, but I really do like the idea of instead trading Dragic for a draft pick, like a first-round pick, trading him for a former first-round pick that's young, that's been drafted in the last couple of years, that you could bring in-house already, that you could start to get to know, that could either develop into a role player or an impact player or an asset down the line, and then maybe attaching a second-round pick to that and start just rebuilding that arsenal slowly but surely and just getting more and more young players on long-term rookie-scale deals as opposed to these one-year Derek Williams contracts. All right, here's our last question, and this goes right along with those young guys. What do you think of Timberwolves point guard Tyus Jones, and do you think there's any way the Heat could get him in a trade? So Tyus Jones, he's a 20-year-old point guard playing for the Timberwolves, 6'2", 195 pounds, played at Duke with Justice Winslow, came out in that same draft. He's averaging 4.7 points, 3.3 assists, and he's a 33% career three-point shooter. He's playing about 15 minutes a game right now this season. So he's modest numbers. So his numbers don't jump off the box score. Quite honestly, I don't watch a lot of Tyus Jones when I'm watching Minnesota. I'm watching Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. I'm watching all these guys. Zach LaVine. My attention really isn't on Tyus Jones. So I did some research, found Derek James of ESPN 1500, ESPN Station Minnesota. Derek James is a good writer. I trust everything he says. He writes, this season, Tyus Jones has been the team's most consistent point guard. Ricky Rubio has been up and down due to injury. Chris Dunn has looked like the rookie that he is. That leaves Jones, who has produced well in the times he has seen the court. When the Timberwolves bring in Jones, he's a change of pace for teams. He's a player teams may not be focusing on as much as the other Timberwolves, but can effectively organize an offense and plays hard. Based on the first three quarters, it seems unlikely that the Timberwolves emerge victorious on Friday night. Tom Thibodeau, he was talking about a past game, but the point being, Tom Thibodeau, the Wolves coach, may be wise to incorporate Jones into the rotation more going forward. So again, Derek James talking about Tyus Jones pretty positively. Not that this guy is going to jump off the page, but I like what he says. He's consistent. He can get the team organized on offense, which is a huge skill. It's something, like I said, that Briante Weber just does not have. Team looks disorganized, really, when anybody other than Goran Dragic is in the game. There was rumors and reports about Tom Thibodeau may be interested in acquiring a veteran player to help bring these young guys on his roster along. Now, the rumors obviously are going to be directed at guys like Luol Deng and Taj Gibson, guys that he's coached before and knows. But the Ricky Rubio experiment is probably over in Minnesota, right? And yeah, you have a guy like Chris Dunn, but he's a rookie. You don't really know what he is. He might be a combo guard. We don't know. And you can't rely on him yet. You probably won't be able to rely on him for a couple of years. So maybe there's a situation where Tom Thibodeau says, I just want a guy that can run this offense and score. And he goes and looks at a guy like Goran Dragic. Now, I don't know how that backcourt works with Dragic and Zach LaVine. LaVine is coming along as a defender. He deals with some inconsistencies that would be a troubling backcourt at times defensively. But it's worth asking the question. And if they don't want a guy like Goran Dragic, I don't know what it would take to get Tyus Jones. But he wasn't a high draft pick. They've already got Chris Dunn as their young point guard. Ricky Rubio's already in place there for however much longer. It could be a situation where you could steal Tyus Jones. The problem is the Heat don't have assets. And the only way I could see this happening is if they give up one of their young guys, but that wouldn't make sense, right? It wouldn't make sense to move Josh Richardson for Tyus Jones. It wouldn't make sense to move Tyler Johnson for Tyus Jones. That doesn't make sense. So it would have to be something in like a three-team deal involving the Timberwolves, the Heat, and another team. That other team takes Goran Dragic. That third team sends something to Minnesota, and the Heat get Tyus Jones. That's what it would have to be a situation. Maybe it's a situation where you get Sacramento on the phone. Sacramento takes Tyus Jones. Minnesota gets a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein or Ben McLemore or a young player that they maybe can save from Sacramento. Sacramento gets Goran Dragic. The Kings send Willie Cauley-Stein or Ben McLemore or something like that to Minnesota, and the Heat get Tyus Jones and maybe a draft pick. And that would be that situation. So that could work. And we've seen Riley pull off three-team trades. In fact, most trades Riley does involve a third team in one way, in one form or another. So that would be, it would have to be that sort of situation. Based on what Derek's saying here, writing here, I love the idea of just getting a young guy. I love that he's 20 years old. I love that he played with Justice Winslow at Duke. I love all of that. To me, that's great. I don't know if he could be a starting point guard, but that's, again, that's the kind of player I think you have to get. And if you could get a guy like that plus draft pick or draft picks in return, or even another young player in return, who, again, is not on one of these one-term, one-year deals, but is still on a cheap deal, on a rookie-scale deal that you can invest some time in and maybe develop that player into an impact or into a role player or an asset, I love that idea. So getting Tyus Jones and another young player, or Tyus Jones and another draft pick, whether it be a late first or a second rounder or something like that, a couple second rounders, to me is a great trade. I think that's worth exploring. It's not that I want to trade Dragic, but this is a situation if you're going to trade Dragic. And if the Heat are going to trade Dragic, That means that they are willing to tank, that this team has no hopes of making the playoffs, and that they just need to get younger, faster, and acquire assets, as many assets as soon as possible, in order to start rebuilding its tool chest, so to speak, in order to make a move, whether it be developing players into a new team, rebuilding that team, or trading eventual assets for a star player. So, well, that's all the questions that we have. So thanks for you guys. Thanks to you guys for listening, whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Thank you. Get in touch with the show on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email, where you can send us these mailbag questions, send us comments, or sponsorship opportunities. That's LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And look, if you're not subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. It helps our position on the iTunes charts, helps other people discover the show. So thank you all, and we'll catch you next time.